Praise God. How are we doing this morning? Are we doing all good? How is the congregation in Hillcrest doing? Is everybody doing good this morning? I want to tell you, every time I come to this verse, verse 8 of chapter 6, I don't know about you, but I am always encouraged by this verse. And it is, I think, because the Bible just mentions here a man by the name of Stephen. He was just an ordinary church member. But he was somebody who was committed. He was committed to the vision. He was somebody that I think even kind of knew about the REAP vision that we have here. Because the Bible says that he was actually serving as a deacon. In other words, he was activated. He was somebody that got saved. He obviously got established in the Word. And now he was somebody that had been activated, switched on to function for God. And here is Stephen. The Bible says just an ordinary man who is busy serving in the house of the Lord, and he is busy just as a deacon, as an usher. He is committed. He is accountable. He is responsible. And the Bible says that he was a man full of faith and full of power. What was he full of? Faith and full of what? Faith and power. And the Bible says that he did signs, wonders, and miracles. He was so overflowing with the faith of God and the power of God that everywhere he went, he did signs, wonders, and miracles. I want you to turn to somebody today and tell them, there is power in my faith. Come on, look at somebody this morning and tell them, there is power in your faith. Come on, find somebody else. Don't talk to your wife. Don't talk to your husband. But I need you to look to two or three people right now, and I want you to look at them in the eye and tell them, there is power in your faith. There is power in your faith. There is power in your faith. Hallelujah. You see, there ought to be some kind of manifestation of God's power when you say that you have faith in God. Hallelujah. If there is power, then there is the faith of God. I said last week that the real God kind of faith always translates into the power of God. Well, what do you mean by the power of God, Pastor? By the power of God, I'm talking about the supernatural. They ought to be the manifestation of the supernatural in your life. There ought to be some things that you cannot explain how it happened. I can't put an equation to it. I can't put reason to it. I can't put what's happening in the economy to it. But it just happened. Because why? When I take my faith and I mix it with the power of God, there ought to be the demonstration. There ought to be the visibility. There ought to be the manifestation of signs, wonders, and miracles. Can you once again do me a favor and just touch two or three people and tell them, there is power in my faith? Hallelujah. I want you to understand this morning that it is not your works that empower you. Your works do not empower you. Your faith does. But how many of you know you still have to work your faith? It's the working of your faith that empowers you. Can I get an amen in this place? It almost sounds like a contradiction or maybe something that is paradoxical. But your works do not empower you. The working of your faith does. And the working of your faith will invariably also translate in you being like a Stephen, serving in the house, doing something, putting your hand to do something. I don't know, even if it's just shaking somebody's hand, if it's just bringing somebody to their seat, I don't know what it is. Your works do not empower you, your faith does, but you have to work your faith. Would you look at somebody and tell them, you can't just sit there, you got to work your faith. Come on, I'm here to encourage you this morning. That's what my wife said. We are parabats in the Lord. I remember years ago, a woman in this church, who's still in this church, she looked at Pastor Fred and she said, you know, to be a part of this church, you have to be a parabat. Absolutely. I want you to know, you are sitting next to a parabat this morning. What do you mean by that? We have a pioneering spirit. We have a faith spirit. We have a signs, wonders, and miracles spirit. Come on, we're not sitting back and being passive and complacent, but every one of us, every time we get to work our faith, there is an outward manifestation of the greatness of God. God saved you. He washed you in His blood, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and you are going to heaven, but He did all that so that you can be a visible, walking, talking manifestation of the goodness of God, of the greatness of God. Hallelujah. There ought to be so much that God is doing in your life that you're telling your children, and your children will tell their children, and their children will tell their children, and 3, 4, 5 generations down the road, they're still speaking about great, great grandpa who did this, and great, great grandpa who had this miracle, and all of the outworkings of your faith. Can you say amen? Look at somebody and tell them there is power in your faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to encourage you this morning. God didn't call us to have small faith. The Bible says every one of us has been given a measure of faith. How many of you know that the scripture says when the Son of Man returns, what does it say there? Will He find faith? Will He find what? That means that God has placed you and I as custodians of His faith. Every one of us is a custodian of our faith. Brother Cyril, you are a custodian of your faith. Sister Nicolette, you are a custodian of your faith. I am a custodian of my faith. And I am responsible to grow my faith. I'm responsible for my faith to go from faith, from glory to glory. Every single one of us has a responsibility to feed your faith, to grow your faith, to nourish your faith, to sustain your faith. No wonder Jesus, every time He had conversations with people, invariably, somewhere in the conversation, He would identify their faith. He would always identify their faith. Hallelujah. Why? Because every one of us is a custodian of our faith. Can you say amen? Can I get a better amen? You see, I'm here to tell you this morning, friends, that your faith empowers you. Some of you are waiting for a man to empower you. Some of you are waiting for the government to empower you. Some of you are waiting for the bank manager to empower you. Nobody will empower you except your faith. But you have to work your faith. You have to say, God, You've given me a measure of faith, and now my job is to build on that faith. My job is to add to that faith. You say, well, I believe and I have a faith. No, believing is not enough. The Bible says that demons tremble and they believe as well. Every man, every woman has been given a belief system. See, I want to ask you today, what is your faith in? And who is your faith in? Your faith can't be just floating out there just because you believe in God. No, my faith is in Jesus. And my faith is in the Word of God. If you're not laying a hold of the Word of God, your faith is not growing. I don't care how often you come to church. I don't care how many songs you sing. I don't care how many times you say hallelujah. Unless it's the Word of God that you are feeding yourself in, and you are growing thereby, your faith does not prosper. So it takes the Word of God. It takes you basically cutting yourself off from what people are saying, from what you see, from what you hear, so that your faith and the power of God become more of a reality than what you are surrounded by in your circumstances. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Your faith empowers you. You say, well, what about knowledge? Doesn't knowledge empower? Isn't it great to get a hold of knowledge? Knowledge has its place. But the Bible says that knowledge as well puffs up. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy 3:7, write this down, 2 Timothy 3:7, talking about a certain kind of people. And in verse 7, it says these kind of people who are divisive. And you can read all of that from verse 1 through to 6. But in verse 7 of 2 Timothy 3, it says that these kind of people are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see, you are truly empowered, not just by knowledge, but when that knowledge becomes revelation and truth to you. And when that knowledge becomes truth and revelation to you, and you act on it, that acting on it empowers your faith. Because wherever there is faith, there is the power of God. And wherever there is the power of God, you will see somebody who has pressed in to get the word inside of them. You will see somebody who has grown in their faith. Can I get an amen? Amen. I looked up the word empower, and this is what it means. It means to give someone the authority or power to do something. Hallelujah. To give somebody the authority or power to do somebody. You're looking for somebody to empower you. They never ever will. But your faith and the power of God will empower you to do something. And not just something, but something great for God. Something great for your family. Something great for your business. Something great for your ministry. Something great for your calling. Hallelujah. That word empower means to enable somebody to do something. It means to make somebody stronger and more confident. Listen, if there's anything we need to be more stronger and more confident. Even as it gets darker out there and it gets more difficult out there and all kinds of things are happening in the world today, we know, I hardly even read the newspaper. I hardly even watch the news because you walk away, let me climb back into bed. You know, you get so depressed about what you're hearing out there. So I have to constantly be feeding my faith. Why? Because my faith empowers me. My faith empowers me. Your faith empowers you. And faith and power always are linked together. And they bring about the supernatural, the demonstration of God. That's why faith is such an essential thing. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord? You see, if you can work your faith and bring faith to the table, then there's no limit to what your faith and God's power can do in and through your life. Let me say that again. If you can bring faith, see a lot of people that want to bring doubt. They want to bring their problems to the table. They want to bring what he said, what she said. No, when it comes to God and the workings of God and the kingdom of God and the supernatural, there's only one thing you need to bring to the table. You need to bring the faith that you have been working on. And when you bring your faith to the table, hallelujah, and you mix it with the power of God, there is no limit to what your faith and God's power can do. Can I say that again? There is no limit. There is no limit. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the lawyers told you. I don't care what the last 5 years, what the books are saying. I don't care what your track record is. I don't care what the teachers told you about your son, about your daughter. There is no limit. There is no limit to what your faith and God's power can do in and through your life. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? I said last week, and let me say it one more time, if you are not pressing in to the things of God, then it means that you are backing off from God. Parabats don't back off. Parabats are the first to be dropped in. They go and do a reconnaissance. They are right on the front line of every battle. Can I get an amen? We are spiritual parabats. You can't afford to tap off in God. You can't afford to back off in God. Why? Because when you do, the space that you had in God is occupied by all kinds of other things, whether it's demons, whether it's the flesh, whether it's a man's opinions, whether it's fear, whatever, whatever. So you've got to be constantly pressing into the things of God. You've got to be constantly pushing into that realm, into the kingdom realm. If not, demon powers and darkness will push back on you. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and tell them it's not the time to back off. It's not the time to be silent. It's not the time to be a nice, nice Christian. The devil's not afraid of nice, nice Christians. He's afraid of Christians that have a violent faith. He's afraid of those who push in. He's afraid of those who pay no attention to the natural. Why? Because my faith and the power of God are more real to me than what I'm seeing in the natural. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Listen, there are people out there in the world who don't know God, who know for a fact that the spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. And how much more for us as the children of God, and we are in the kingdom of light. We are in His domain. Hallelujah. So that's why God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, I know that it's difficult for you right now. I know that I haven't told you where I'm going to take you. I know that it might look confusing right now, but lift your eyes. Get your eyes off where you are looking right now. Get your eyes off your circumstances. Get your eyes off the natural. Why? Because I put a faith on the inside of you, and if you can work that faith, my power can work with any kind of faith, and I will take you into your land that flows with milk and honey. He got Abraham to lift his eyes off the circumstances. Hallelujah. Listen, if you are hearing something that doesn't edify your faith, get rid of it. There's so many teachings out there right now, and it's like it comes in the disguise of truth. Oh, we want to tell you the truth. The truth. Man, when I got saved, there was all of that gunk happening right there. And yes, we have to lean in and rest in the grace of God and in the mercy of God. But listen, you've also got to be pushing with your spirit realm, with your spirit man, your spirit man. It's not going to happen like that. We're not robots. We're not programmed. You have to get up and you have to will. You have to will to seek God. You have to will to open up that Bible and get the word for yourself. Don't get it from somebody else. Find out what God is saying to you this morning. Find out what God is going to say to you tomorrow morning. Get out your crayons and your coloring things and mark scriptures and underline them. Do your own Bible study. Check out the Greek and the Hebrew of that and allow the Holy Ghost to speak that word. Why? Because when you work your faith, the power of God comes, and faith and power go hand in hand to bring about the supernatural of God. If Stephen, an ordinary man, just a disciple, who was a committed church member. I'm just adding that in parenthesis. He loved the church. He loved the church. Hey, is the church perfect? Absolutely not. I'm the first to say that. Is there a room here for improvement? Absolutely. But if you love God, you will love the people of God. And you will be in the church. And Stephen loved the church. Amen. Listen, and he wasn't, when you look at Acts 7 and he's about to be stoned, you see him going through scripture. I mean, if anybody knew the word, it was Stephen. He's talking about things that happened in the past. How did he get that? Through the word, through spending time with God. No wonder the Bible says he was a man full of faith and power. The word just doesn't float out of heaven while you are sleeping. You plug yourself in and the word just comes. You got to diligently apply yourself. Come on, are there any diligent people here this morning? I know that there are a lot of diligent people here this morning. Is there anybody here that's willing to get up, willing to press in, willing to make a sacrifice for God? Lift your hand if that's you this morning. That's right. Stephen was a man full of faith and power. and he went about doing great signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Why are you talking about faith and power? Because if you want change to come, the only thing that will bring about that change is faith and God's power. If you're trusting for a family member to get saved, God's power will save that individual. If you're wanting your son that's wayward to get saved and be recommitted, God's power will do that for you. If you're looking for something to happen in your business, listen, you can go to all the motivational speakers out there and pay 30,000 rand, 50,000 rand, and all of that still will not help. Why? Because you need God's power to invade your business. You need God's love and God's mercy to come upon those workers that are not serving God. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, my marriage is at 6 and 7. We can send you to counselor after counselor after counselor, marriage seminar after marriage seminar, to one honeymoon weekend to the next honeymoon weekend. But if you do not have the power of God and the power of God is not invading your marriage, nothing will change. Can I get an amen in this place? That's why I'm here to tell you this morning, we can't allow the world to dictate to us. We can't allow the world to overwhelm us. When we don't work our faith, then the world will overwhelm you. Discouragement will overwhelm you. Fear will overwhelm you. Is there anybody that's hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. Hallelujah. And there is no limit to what God's power can do. I want you to lift your hands and say, my faith and God's power are inextricably linked. And there is absolutely no limit to what God's power can do. Somebody needs that this morning. I don't know who I'm prophesying to, but somebody needs that this morning. You see, faith is central. Faith is central to the life of every believer. Like I said, it's still possible to believe and have no faith. But faith, the God kind of faith, will always demand something of you. That's why people don't want to preach about faith, because faith won't just leave you alone. Faith demands something of you. Faith actually involves your entire being. I know that we say that faith is of the heart, and rightly so. But actually, faith, you are spirit, soul, and body. Huh? We don't say, oh, look, there goes Beverly's spirit. Wow. But there's her body over there. And in the foyer, I see her will and her emotions. I see her spirit man walking there, but her body's on that side. No, when I see Beverly, she is spirit, soul, and body. When she gets up and goes somewhere, her spirit and her soul and her body move together with her. Look at somebody and tell them, you are spirit, soul, and body. So what I'm trying to tell you is that faith starts in the heart. But it has to. When you begin to overflow with the word and the faith of God, that faith has to, sooner or later, touch your soul. The effects of fullness of faith must be felt in your will, in your emotions, in your intellect. Your intellect are saying, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. But your spirit man is so full of faith that your spirit man says, shut up, soul, I can and I must. And your body will tell you, but you're too tired. You are now 54 years old. And you say, shut up, body. I'm not 54 years old. I'm 45 years old, and I'm getting younger. I can do. I have got energy. I have got passion. I have got a zeal. I have got a desire. I mean, if you can see what I'm saying. So even when we say, you know, faith is of the heart, some people disconnect the spirit from the soul and the body. You are one individual. You are one person. So if your spirit man is full of faith, of course, sweetheart, it's going to impact your emotions. It's going to impact your will. It's going to impact and override your mind. Your mind will tell you, give you 1,001 reasons why you cannot. But your spirit man will have the last say and say, shut up, soul. Shut up, mind. You might have been educated at Harvard. Shut up, Harvard. I want to tell you, I can do all things. You don't know who it is that's on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Your faith will always empower you to do great things for God. There's no such thing as invisible faith. There's no such thing as silent faith. So your faith invariably involves the whole of you. And your faith has to first move you before it can move any mountain. Did you hear what I said? You might be facing obstacles. You might be facing situations. But until such time as your faith moves you, it will never move that obstacle. It will never move that mountain. It will never move that giant. If your faith does not move you, it won't move your problem. And how does it move me? It moves me by first, by moving my tongue, by moving my utterance. There can be no performance until there is an utterance. Let me say that one more time. There can be no performance. What do you mean by performance? I mean by the visible outworking of God's power. You will not have that until your tongue is moved by the faith that's on the inside of you. It's amazing how easily we find our tongue to move when it's gossip and it's slander. And we talk about that, talk about that, talk about that. Da, da, da. And that's exactly where the devil gets you. He gets you to talk about all kinds of stuff. And what does that do? That disempowers you. That weakens you. Every time you get involved in hearsay and genealogies and should we do this and should we go here and should we and ah da 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 da. You know, like let me give you an example. Let me go down this road. I'm going to go down this road. How many of you want me to go down this road? But I'll be cautious. Well, Pastor, tithing is of the Old Testament. Like, I'm thinking, what medication are you on? So automatically, when you say tithing is not New Testament, what you're telling the people is don't give. That's what you're telling people. So I have to think a little bit about this. And then I have to forget about the scriptures. Even when we've taught in this place how even in the Garden of Eden, Adam was already taught about the tithe principle. And how that Abraham, before the law came, was already tithing. But that's besides the point. Then I have to think about God. And I have to think about his personality. And I have to think about his character. And right from the word go, the greatest giver of everybody is God. The Bible says in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world that he what? I can't hear you in this church. For God so loved the world that he what? So God is the biggest giver out of all of us. And if we are born again and created in the image of God, automatically you will what? Whether tithing is New Testament, whether it's Old Testament, whether it's apostolic, whether it's this, whether it's that, I don't care what you want to call it. I've often told people that the 10% tithing is actually for our unbelief. Because when you look at the Old Testament and you add up all the tithes and all that they paid, it added up to 23%. Now we come in the New Testament. Grace. Just grace. I love you. Grace. You don't need to repent, Cyril, because Jesus forgave you of your past sins, your present sins, and every future sins. Thinking like, what planet are you in? As long as you are wrapped up in a body of flesh, because that teaching teaches that we've received our glorified bodies. So it's impossible to sin. It's impossible to sin. Is there anybody here that is on the same wavelength as me? Huh? How many of you sinned yesterday? Anybody here? Yeah. I mean, listen, if you want to be real, you are wrapped up in this body of flesh. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. I want to know that I can come before God and say, Daddy, I'm sorry. I messed up. I do repent. Oh, you can't say that word. Repent. There's no repentance in the New Testament. Because we never sin. And even if you sin, Jesus already forgave you. So like when I mess up with my wife, I don't need to say sorry because why? She's forgiven me already. But how many of you know that if, in my marriage, if I mess up, the thing that brings restoration and brings healing, I say, sorry, sweetheart, I messed up. And if we are natural people that respond that way, how much more with God? Amen. So they tell you, there's no tithing. They don't tell you, forget about the tithe. Give as much as you want. Why don't you hear them say that? Because if they did 23% in the old, we should be going 53% in the new. The 10% is actually for our unbelief. It's for the schnoop-iness in us that wants to hold back. Okay, don't hold back. 10%. Oh, 10%. So it just helps us in our unbelief. It helps us. Now, don't get mad with me. You people attend motivational sermons where they spend 30,000 rand, sometimes 50,000 rand, to hear some heathen person talking about how to be successful. And you know what the take home is? One of the ways to be successful, give. They tell you give. They tell you give. And I'm sitting and thinking, tithing is not in the New Testament. Why did you say, scrap the 10%. Let's give God 95% because God is a God of giving and He wants you to give. I mean, does that, how many of you understand what I'm saying? We've taken the offering so you can relax. If you are born again, how many of you born again? Is there anybody here that had an encounter with God? You know your life was changed. You were walking in one direction and now you're walking in, then it means you carry the nature of God. And if you never look at another scripture again, it will be in you to just want to give. Amen. Just saying. Hashtag just saying. Amen. Hashtag just saying. I'm just saying. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But if your faith cannot move you, it will not move your mountain. But if your faith can move your heart, if your faith can move your language, if your faith can move your tongue, that you can now begin to speak and declare some things. Let me tell you, your faith will change the way that you dream. Your faith will change the way you do business. Suddenly, strategy will come. Suddenly, fresh vision and revelation can come. Why? When my faith moves me, it will move my mountain. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. So faith actually involves all of you, Sister Nitha. Not just your spirit man. Why? Because I'm one. I'm spirit, soul, and body. And my faith exudes from my spirit man. But it touches and influences my emotions. And then from there, it touches my body, quickens my body, gets my body to do things that my mind is telling me I don't want to do. So when I come to church on a Sunday and I don't feel like lifting my hands to worship God, no, because you're so full of faith and power, suddenly you find your hand, like, what's my hand doing up here? Like, how did my hand get up there? No, your faith overwhelmed your body. Your faith overwhelmed your emotions. Your faith overwhelmed your depression. Your faith overwhelmed your disappointment. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith has to exude every part of your body, not just when you come here on a Sunday, not just a few words that you speak, not just a hallelujah here and a hallelujah there. No, it's a bit more than that. Your faith has to involve every part of you. Why? And when it comes from you, it empowers you. Look at somebody and tell them, my faith empowers me. Come on, say that one more time. My faith empowers me. Come on, look at somebody else and tell them your faith empowers you. When you work your faith will empower you. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, when you work your faith will empower you. No, stop waiting for the teacher to empower you. Stop waiting for the next door neighbor to empower you. Stop waiting for somebody to come from somewhere. Nobody's coming from anywhere. You're not going to receive any phone call. You have to empower yourself. You have to get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to empower my faith. I'm going to grow my faith. Nobody's going to do it for me unless I do it for myself. Can you say praise the Lord? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Everybody stand to your feet. Come on. Come on. I feel the miracles of God in this place. How many of you are strengthened in your faith this morning? How many of you feel a whole lot better that you came to church this morning? Come on, come on, come on. Grab somebody's hand right now and lift your hands to the heavens. Say after me, Father, I'm here today, your child. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And your word has come this morning, and my faith is edified. My faith is strengthened, and my faith in you is what will empower me. I thank you today. Nobody else can empower me, but I choose today as I go from this place to work my faith, because my faith will empower me. Thank you today for fresh revelation. Thank you today that faith and your power go hand in hand. Where there is the faith of God, there always is the power of God. And I need your power. My marriage needs your power. My business needs your power. My finance needs your power. My thinking needs your power. Every part of me needs the power of God. If Stephen could be full of faith and power, then I am just like Stephen. If he could walk in that power, signs and wonders and miracles, then so too can I. You have called me for such a time as this to defy the odds. I'm your child. I'll testify of your greatness, of your goodness, the things that you want to do in and through my life. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you believe that, give the Lord a praise offering.